detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and we were just listening, and they were basically talking about the fact that General Motors, of course, everybody's very unhappy about General Motors, but the United States has already given General Motors over $19 billion. They're going to give them another $30 billion at least, so we'll have about $50 billion invested in this company that is shifting its production facilities overseas. We're told that when General Motors comes back from the bankruptcy, it's going to be leaner and meaner. Well, basically, that means they're just going to cut back on the number of factories they have here in the United States, but they're doing very well over in China. General Motors has announced they're going to be bringing about 25% of the cars that they are producing, 25% of the cars they sell in the United States are going to bring in them from overseas, where they actually have plants in Russia, they have plants in China, they have plants in Brazil. And does anybody question at all why this is that we're giving money to a company that's making a lot of money overseas so that they can transfer their production facilities overseas? Doesn't make sense unless maybe there's an agenda to send American jobs and American wealth and American manufacturing overseas. But with that as the background, our special guest, as always on Thursday afternoon, is Joel Skousen. Joel, thank you so very much for being with us, and let's get your take on what's going on in the world today.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Taking off on your cue on the auto bankruptcies, you know, this is a very big GM planning on closing initially at least 17 factories, going down from 42 to about 30-some factories. And but as you say, you know, the take will eventually, you know, climb at least to $100 billion. There's no way that this General Motors is going to survive, even with the 20 to 30 billion that they poured into it already. They'll continue to lose money for several more years. And so, as Obama says, this will be temporary. Well, it won't be temporary. Even if it delays many years in pouring good money after bad, it will make it impossible for enough profits to buy out the taxpayer input. Of course, in Chrysler, you know, you have this new company put out by supposedly Fiat that is buying out Chrysler's assets, but it turns out not to be Fiat at all. It's a special new corporation being created under the name of Fiat, but it is, in essence, a corporation that is a front for the health care provider unit from the labor unions. Everything about these bankruptcies is really favoring the labor unions, so this is a socialist outright takeover from the very, very beginning. You know, Fiat was granted the exclusive right to bid on Chrysler, and now we know why. Fiat, whose chairman is on the Trilateral Commission, was the only bidder willing to make this secret deal with the Obama administration that would give the unions a controlling hand in the new corporate entity that Fiat would provide cover for. So Fiat will control 20%, well, it's actually the labor union percentage under the Fiat name, will control 20%. U.S. and Canadian governments will control 12%. Fiat, the actual company, of 20%, and this new healthcare trust will have the bulk of the controlling stock. So there's a lot going on. I think a lot of people are really upset about the closing of dealerships. This is a very sore point across the nation. GM will be closing over 2,000 dealerships. And while Chrysler and GM claim that there are too many dealers competing with one another, what difference should that make to them? What kind of profit margins the dealers make? You know, a company can actually sell more cars the more dealers there are out there, and let the market decide which ones are profitable. But in point of fact, the dealers that are being cut are mostly profitable, not unprofitable, and it appears that GM and Chrysler are making these decisions on other criteria. Not to mention, of course, there's an egregious breach of contract involved here, Stan. The dealers are not party to the bankruptcy, so bankruptcy law cannot breach these contracts, and yet they are attempting to do so. And certainly certain controlled judges are allowing this to go along. Worse, it's beginning to emerge that many dealerships were being cut, were contributors to the Republican Party, or that they failed to make political contributions to either party, just trying to do an honest business. Some cuts were the only dealers in small towns, making a lie out of the claim that there were too many dealers competing against them. What do they have any business, you know, cutting out a dealership? It's been a family-owned business in a small town in the West here. There's been several of them. I mean, the only dealer in town, and they're cutting them. Does that make any sense?
Well, of course, I think that we have to understand the federal government's in charge. They put their people there overlooking things, and the federal government really is deciding which dealerships are going to go down. Certainly, this is not being made. These decisions are not being made on an economic basis. Obviously, if you go along with the system, why, you'll be rewarded. If you fight the system, you're in real trouble.
I think you've hit it right on the head. This has become, you know, all across the board now that the rule of law has been destroyed by this bankruptcy judge, Arthur Gonzalez. Essentially, you know, if you're in the club, you get paid off. Greg Palast, even though he's from the left, quote him this week of saying that there are secret payoffs at work in this bankruptcy, in the selections of winner and losers. When GM workers are losing their retirement health benefits, their jobs, their life savings, and, of course, there's a big payoff, by the way, for those that are losing their job. Some are getting six-figure payoffs plus a $25,000 credit towards a new vehicle. I mean, you know, when other people are losing everything, there's no reason why these workers who have been making $60 to $85 an hour, you know, should be given this kind of a payoff. But in any case, there's also a secret deal, apparently, with privileged GM lenders, Morgan and Citibank. They expect to get back 100% of their loans to GM. Now, think of this, Dr. Sand. GM had debts of $172 billion over assets of some 82. So that's about a 2-to-1 ratio of debts to assets. Now, ask yourself this. What creditors are going to be lending a company money when their asset ratio or debt-to-asset ratio is 2-to-1? I mean, that's just incredibly stupid, unless they had insider information that they were going to be able to get back out of this. And that's, it looks like, what's happening with J.P. Morgan and Citibank. Why are these banks getting back all of their money? It's a bonanza. The stone-cold illegal, says Palast. He says, I smell a rat. Stevie the Rat, to be precise. Steven Rattner is Obama's car czar, the man who essentially ordered a bankruptcy, a young guy about 30 years old. When a company goes bankrupt, everybody gets a hit, fair or not. Workers lose some contract wages. Stockholders get wiped out. Creditors get fragments of what's left. That's the law, and there is a hierarchy of who gets what, which has been broken, by the way, by this bankruptcy judge. Arthur Gonzalez, by the way, is the judge who just coincidentally also handled the bankruptcies of Enron and WorldCom, the two largest bankruptcies in the entire world.
Well, you know, the thing that bothers me about this, Joel, is I think we're seeing a massive transfer of America's taxpayers' dollars to the elite, specifically to J.P. Morgan, Chase, and, of course, to Goldman Sachs. And they're going to get money. I mean, why are we putting money into this? Why don't we just let it go into bankruptcy and let them try to work it out on their own? Why do we insist on interfering and putting in some $50 billion, and a lot of that's going to go to the major banks who put the money, who took a chance, who lost? They should lose their money, but they're not going to.
Well, you know, this is even more apropos, what you say, when we look at the bank bailouts, which I'm going to discuss shortly, but here we're also seeing a major payoff to the Democratic side of the political spectrum and the labor unions, which support that. The labor unions are coming out of this smelling like bandits. You know, they're getting their pension converted to stock, and, you know, they're getting these huge payoffs for the workers that will be released. The parts suppliers are just getting shafted. A lot of those are going out of business with no compensation whatsoever. But he says, you know, Ratner is demanding that the bankruptcy court simply wipe away the GM, the money GM owes the workers for the retirement health insurance. Cash in the insurance fund will be replaced by GM stock, and yet Citibank and Morgan will get their whole $6 billion right now and in cash from a company that can't pay its auto parts supplier or its workers' wages.
But, of course, where is the company getting its money? Why it's coming from the American taxpayers? We'll be right back. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Aging doesn't only show in your face, but it can be felt in your body. You feel tired. Your joints and muscles ache, and your mind seems clouded and forgetful. It's time to stop the aging clock with a proven system brought to you by NutraMedical.com. Anti-Age Max uses a revolutionary formula to turn back the hands of time on the inside and out. Combine Anti-Age Max with Nutritrala to protect against cellular damage, and Collagen Max to regenerate healthy bones, ligaments, joints, and improve the collagen and elastin to your skin's appearance. It is possible to look and feel youthful again when you give your body what it needs. Anti-Age Max. Dr. Bill's Anti-Age Max is available now by calling 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. Or order online at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com, your source for the most powerful nutraceuticals and wellness protocols from a doctor you can trust.
You're listening to GCN, Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest Joel Skelton from World Affairs Brief. Joel, you pick up the story.
Well, we're talking about the bankruptcy of Chrysler and GM. It's going to be a horrendous thing. It's not at all sure whether or not these companies are going to survive at all. You know, they're talking about closing 17 plants here. They're going to open new plants in China and in Russia. So they're going to increasingly, I suspect, really, that they're going to close a lot more plants than just the 17. And they're going to import cars from China in order to compete here in the United States as well as perhaps Russia. But as I say, the larger problems with this is that we have, in a relatively, you know, free market system of laws, they have been overturned into socialism in with the stroke of a pen by a bankruptcy judge in absolute contradiction to the bankruptcy laws, and there's not a court in the law that is so far stopping this. There have been certain of the creditors of pension funds that are protesting to the appeals court what Judge Arthur Gonzalez has done, you know, typical of these law professors who are commenting on this, they say, well, it's doubtful that the appeals court will vote in favor of the pension funds because there's just no else, you know, no other way out of this. They have to support this bankruptcy. There's no other choice. I mean, that's what we were told with the bailouts. There's just no other choice. We have to bail out these banks. They're too big to fail. And the public and Congress goes along with this. It's just incredible, Dr. Stan. No one sits down to make a considered effort to look at the consequences of actually letting them fail. And I'll tell you, as you have just reiterated, that the situation would be much better for this company were we to have let the speculative banks actually fail.
And, you know, there's people all throughout the world are acknowledging that. Even the Prime Minister of Germany is being very critical of what we're doing over here. And just, they said that we're just going to prolong the whole process and of course, drag the rest of the world down with them. She's not very popular right now. And you know, of course, even the people in China, apparently, when our Secretary of the Treasury, Timothy Geithner, was over there last week and was presenting, you know, telling the people over there at the university, one of the Chinese universities, how strong the American dollar was, they didn't have anything to worry about. And apparently the students started to laugh at him. They laughed at the Secretary of Treasury of the United States because they knew he was lying.
Yes, I read that report, too, and I thought, boy, that's that's something that the media should have shown over here. Of course, they never will. Any case, you know, in our bankruptcy here, Ford, which has long flirted with bankruptcy but hasn't taken any bailout funds, is preparing an effort to gain market share while its two rivals are bogged down in bankruptcy and restructuring. But it's a very risky proposition to be increasing production now. There's no way Ford, I believe, is going to be able to stay in the market with its own high legacy costs, competing against foreign companies that have low legacy costs, and the new GM and Chrysler, who have dumped most of their legacy cost. I mean, if you think about it, GM has been able to dump all but 12. So let's see, they had 172 originally. They've gone down $160 billion in debt, just wiped it all away to $12 billion. I mean, that's incredible what they have done. You know, and a lot of these people who bought GM bonds, which are triple rated, been on the Dow Jones Industrial Average for 84 years, a lot of pension funds, a lot of school funds, a lot of state bond funds have bought into GM corporate bonds, and they're all being, you know, losing those. So believe me, this is going to have long-term repercussions in the economy way down the road. Now, bankruptcies are inherently unfair since everyone involved is going to lose something. But, you know, at least in prior years, the bankruptcy judge was supposed to follow strict predetermined guidelines about who gets priority and who doesn't. And now even those guidelines based in actual law are being disregarded so the judge can arbitrarily pick winners and losers, and it's obvious that they're listening to someone whispering in their ears. So this is just doesn't bode well for our country. Let's talk a little bit about the banks, because this has been ongoing even longer than the bankruptcy, and I think it's even more egregious, the selectivity of which winners and losers are being chosen. The latest figures, according to Anand Chakavalich, says that 1,500 banks are going to be gone in the next few years. This was from one of the panel members of the Wall Street Journal Future of Finance Conference, a meeting which featured Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, as well as heavy hitters like George Soros, Meredith Whitney, Robert Shiller, and Paul Volcker. Let's put this in perspective. Since the fall of Bear Stearns, only 61 banks have been taken over by the FDIC. So according to this presenter, we've only seen 1/25 of the likely bank failures. Now, whether or not that many go under is not the point. It's really merely a guess, even though an educated one. The important point is that it looks as if a great many more banks are being set up to fail, and the largest 19 that were subjected to these so-called stress tests, which ended up being kind of an excuse to give the ones that failed it more money, and a lot of them are busy claiming to sell stocks so that they can get themselves out of the bailout money. But the basis of selling that stock to the public, they're using the bailout money that they've got to show a balance sheet that is showing a profit, when in fact they are all, the bigger banks are insolvent. So the three groups now, or classes of banks, the big banks that pass the stress test and they get more bailout money, the big banks that fail the stress test and they get even more bailout money because they can't be allowed to fail, and smaller banks who don't get any bailout money. Now, you see, only the banks that had more than $100 billion in assets were subject to the government stress tests, which were really quite arbitrary. And these 19 largest banks, out of 8,200 FDIC-insured banks, comprise about two-thirds of all U.S. banking assets. And, of course, they're the only ones the U.S. government cares about. In reality, there's only 9 large banks of those 19, and those are the ones that are getting the lion's share of the bailout funds. But I continue to point out the utter impropriety of Congress giving to the Treasury the power to arbitrarily bail out some banks while forcing others to fail. The FDIC says there are 350 on the problem list. And Bob Chapman asks, why can't they be bailed out as the 19 money center banks? Well, that's a good question. It is clearly meant to allow the favored, most insolvent banks to have the assets, courtesy of the U.S. taxpayer, to buy up the others using taxpayer funds. The Treasury will inject a fresh $50 billion in support of GM. GM's debt, as I mentioned, will drop from $170 to $12 billion. The U.S. Treasury is bailing out J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank out of their GM debt. And this is just plain and simple selective choosing of winners and losers. And it's a violation of every principle of law the U.S. has known for the past 200 years.
They had a 60-minute program this last weekend on the FDIC closing banks down, and they showed this one bank that, of course, had been closed by the FDIC, and the FDIC had simply sold it to another larger bank and then guaranteed the larger bank that they wouldn't lose any money. The FDIC would pick it up if there was going to be any money lost. Well, why couldn't they do that for the smaller bank? Well, they were simply transferring ownership to the larger bank. And, of course, the people were just simply going to lose all their investment. The bondholders were going to lose out, and the larger bank was going to do well.
Today, we cannot afford to ignore the current state of our country, the economy, job layoffs, mass foreclosures, and now we are all at risk of being exposed to this new flu pandemic. The Center for Disease Control has declared a public health emergency across the United States. What can you do to prepare yourself? The answer is ZeroFlu.com. ZeroFlu.com offers you the very best in air purifiers. These revolutionary air purifiers protect up to 3,000 square feet of your home and stop 99.9% of airborne allergens, influenza, bacteria, viruses, pollen, dust, pet dander, black mold, MRSA, and more. Not only from the air, but from all surfaces. With no filters to replace ever, you save money. Prepare yourself today. To learn more, visit ZeroFlu.com. That's ZeroFlu.com. Or call 888-766-6066. 888-766-6066 today. ZeroFlu.com. Protecting you and your family one day at a time.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit ecoloblue.com. EcoloBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecoloblue.com today.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, would you like to tell our listeners about how they could perhaps subscribe to the World Affairs Brief and get the weekly update?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis service. It comes out every Friday, and it's showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. Listeners could get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And encourage people to go to the website. Not only are there the top stories of each day on the website with links to them so that you can read them pre-filtered by my staff so that you get the best of the conventional stories, but there's also a lot of information on my two major books out there on the issue of preparedness, The Secure Home, and Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places.
All right, fine. Well, then let's just go right ahead with the analysis of this week's World Affairs Brief.
Well, I want to cover something that Bob Chapman issued a major alert about a banking failure coming in this year. And this is basically based, and he even quotes the story that's been circulated in the Internet. I've got lots of copies of it, people asking my advice on it. It's the typical story of someone who claims to be a Christian. They always use a Christian because it makes it more believable. And he's apparently a Christian cop that went in to get some training and was sitting and overhearing in the next room some people in FEMA jackets telling the higher-ups in his county to be prepared for that all the banks were going to collapse and close and shut down in August and prepare to martial law and things like this. I frankly don't believe it, Dr. Stan. There have been dozens of other similar rumors with time, date, goals, all claiming the very same thing, that they heard some FEMA people do. In the first place, this large, there's nothing natural that's going to make all the banks shut their doors in August. If this were a conspiracy on the large part to do that, they would not be telling poison FEMA jackets to be going around to every county and briefing people on this. It just, you know, it wouldn't stay a secret very long. You just don't run conspiracy. Now, I'm one who believes in conspiracy, but that's not how you run them. And they don't have to, alert people to that. You just can't get away with that. But in any case, the powers that be have no reason to bring down the system. They're essentially got their hands full with the fundamentals of the economy wanting to bring down the economy, and they're propping it up with all kinds of intervention, including the printing of money and the desperate measures to keep the dollar manipulated high and the stock market manipulated high. Believe me, if you shut the banks, and they did so in Argentina, for example, in 2002, and it literally brought the economy to its knees instantaneously. I mean, you talk about a depression, that's the easiest way to get a depression, and predictably, they throw the government out. And the powers that be are not going to do that, in my estimation. They're not going to subject themselves to the anger of the people, and they have no reason to justify shutting down all of the banks. So I'm cautioning listeners to be very, very careful of these kinds of rumors that go around the Internet. I just don't think it's true.
I think that's a very astute observation, Joel, and certainly initially why I was shocked when I read it, and then I began thinking pretty long, much along the same lines. So I agree. Please go right ahead.
Well, you know, this is an example, Dr. Stan, of where, you know, it takes some experience, you know, as you have and I have, to see through some of these things. There's an awful lot of people who do buy into these because they seem so logical. And, you know, there was another one several months ago about somebody in FEMA jackets telling everybody to, you know, at the county level to stockpile food because there was going to be martial law and a shortage, you know, and that came and went and nothing ever happened to it. But, I mean, they went on and on about details and very specifics to make it look like this was really something real. And, you know, I think there's some disinformation experts out there really feeding the Internet with bad disinformation like that, trying to discredit the movement and perhaps even discouraging people from believing by saying the sky is falling every other year, and then pretty soon no one will believe us anymore.
And I have disinformation agents actually calling into my programs on a regular basis, but eventually it gets to the point where you can spot them. But they always have these ridiculous things that they're saying with no basis for them. But go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Obama's Cairo speech, pandering to the Muslims. It's my top story for tomorrow. This week's President Obama made his first foray into the Muslim world, ostensibly trying to patch things up with the Arab culture that has come to view America after the Bush years as an enemy. After assiduously evading his own middle name, Hussein, his birth in Kenya, and background as a Muslim during the campaign, suddenly the new president found a form in which all this could be selectively trotted out to please his Cairo audience. And though still claiming to be a Christian, Obama carefully led the Muslim audience through the illusions of his youth, where he spent several years in Indonesia, and said he heard the call of the azan in the morning break, the dawn and the fall of dusk. Naturally, he never admitted to ever being a Muslim or practicing Muslim rituals, which had to have happened, being that he was going to a Muslim school. The president's speeches are masterful in their art of trying to please everyone, one audience at a time. Obama's counting on the fact that focus groups have long memories about glorious promises tailored specifically to them and short memories about checking up on whether or not he fulfills his promises later on. Obama never follows through. In fact, his actions down the line make him look more like a chronic liar than the statesman the media wants to paint him as. Well, though the media was effulgent in its praise, even the Muslim world was skeptical. In the publication, The Angry Arab, Assad Abu Khalil said, "What can you say about Obama? It will and should be remembered that he praised the wisdom, quote, wisdom of kings of the Saudi king. What's next? Will he praise the public beheadings in the kingdom as an example of ideal justice?" You know, in other briefs, I've detailed the total corruption of the royal Saudi family, who are known as pedophiles, whoremongers, and traitors. in underage sex slaves, as well as persecutors of Christians, even on military bases and U.S. embassy property. The U.S. government is a knowing accomplice in the harassment of Christian U.S. citizens living on embassy or military property, as well as these other more egregious crimes. At a minimum, the U.S. looks the other way to make sure that no prosecutions reach their Saudi allies. I think, frankly, Dr. Stan, there was a deal made a long time ago where our government and the British said, we'll keep you in power in Saudi Arabia, even though you've nationalized U.S. and British oil, if you'll continue to supply us a steady supply of oil in dollars. And the Saudis have done that.
And, of course, invest very heavily in American treasury bonds and take all that money you're making and invest in the United States. So they've done that, and they're one of the big sources of supporting of the American dollar.
That's right. So there's definitely a quid pro quo relationship there, and clearly the Saudi royal family could be exposed, you know, and it's playing the role as a great bastion of Muslim culture and defender of the faith by the persecution of Christians, but no such thing. The New Republic's Michael Crowley said that Egyptian dissidents were wholly disappointed that Obama pandered to Egypt's dictatorial and undemocratic President Mubarak. He quoted one Egyptian dissident who saw, quote, a huge disappointment in Obama's failure to challenge Egypt on its abysmal human rights record, not only from Egypt's perspective, but for reformers all over the world. It's not in line with what he promised during the campaign or in his inaugural speech. So you see, there are some intelligent people that see past, the rhetoric and see that he's not fulfilling things. Egyptian blogger Hossam al-Hamawi explained right before he took off from D.C. on what the media has been depicting as some kind of odyssey to address the Muslim world in Cairo. President Obama has described the 81-year-old Egyptian President Mubarak as, quote, a force for stability. Well, this week, Cairo and its twin city, Giza, have been a showcase of this stability cost. And then he talked about all of the security troops, the shutting down of shops, the closing down of neighborhoods next to Cairo University, the suppression of free speech and democracy. I mean, this is just a hypocrisy.
Well, they had stability in Hitler's Germany and Benito Mussolini's Italy, and the trains ran on time. We'll be right back in just a moment. But that's not what we really want, is it?
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Newsflash. Unemployment is soaring over 10%. The dollar is plummeting, and banks are beginning to close their doors. Financial experts are saying we are headed for an economic depression.
Depression. Depression.
The world is on the brink of total meltdown. Unless you expect the government to bail you out, you must be able to grow your own healthy food. Newsflash. SurvivalistSeeds.com has just released a brand new heirloom seed pack at a dramatically reduced price.
Dramatically reduced.
So you and your family have a long-term food solution.
Solution.
Solution. The choice between starvation and freedom is made by you
right now.
Right now. Go to SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. Because you are almost out of time.
Time.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase. handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all-natural insecticides from FreshwaterOrganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP, to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from FreshwaterOrganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, the hour flies, and we've got about 6 minutes to wrap up the program, Joel.
Okay, well, very interesting. Peter Dow, who comes from the left, told his fellow, quote, progressives, you know, I hate that euphemism for the leftists calling themselves progressives. But in any case, he says, he wrote a blog about the emptiness of Obama's Cairo speech. He says, I know many on the left will gush over President Obama's Cairo speech, and I'm likely swimming against the tide of media and my fellow Democrats. But reading the transcript, I'm struck by two things. One, aside from a few platitudes, it was disappointingly weak on human rights and especially women's rights. Number two, it betrays a naivete, perhaps feigned, about how the Arab world works. I sometimes preface my posts at Huffington by explaining that my Mideast perspective is that as an American Lebanese Christian Jew who grew up in Beirut during the height of the Lebanese Civil War. The tumultuous and bloody intersection of religions and political interest is painfully real to me, yet Obama is targeting the Arab street in global public opinion, but pandering to the corrupt Arab regimes that dominate that region of the world. His oration means virtually nothing. Repression and suppression will go on uninterrupted. And to those abiding hatred of Israel, and thus America is absolute, Obama's words will be seen as empty and hypocritical. So even from the left, we get some words of wisdom occasionally. Well, the key question is whether or not Obama's speech indicates an actual change in U.S. policy, Stan, and I do not believe it does. The U.S. occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan will not end, nor will the support for the respective puppet governments of Nouri al-Maliki and Hamid Karzai. To give the illusion of change in Iraq, many of the occupation troops occupying the Green Zone and other U.S. major bases in Iraq will be given some euphemistic title, peacekeepers, to obscure their presence as combat troops and to claim that they've been withdrawn. Now, the secret agreements to keep other corrupt allied Arab regimes in Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates and Egypt in power will also continue, despite the lull in hostile rhetoric toward Iran. When the diplomacy runs its course at the end of this year, and I think it's destined to fail, the U.S. probably through its surrogate Israel will initiate an attack on Iran. All of this will be done while Obama continues the rhetoric of peace or forced necessity. And what I mean by that is the rhetoric of, oh, we've got this crisis on our hand, I am forced to take military action, so that he can claim that, well, I wanted to, just like he did in the speech, I wanted to close. In fact, he said and got the greatest applause in his Cairo speech by saying, and we are closing Guantanamo Bay. Well, he's not closing it. In fact, there have been many roadblocks put up, and I think this is a typical case of him taking a rhetorical position that he knows is impossible to complete because the courts and Congress will not allow it to go through. So he can get away with saying, I tried to close Guantanamo, and then blame the courts who are in collusion with him to keep it open. And Congress won't allow the prisoners to go anywhere else. And what good does it do to close Guantanamo if you're going to put them in secret prisons with indefinite detention somewhere else? I mean, that's what people are protesting about Guantanamo. It's not the physical location of the base. It's not the torture, although it should be. It is the fact that, in fact, we are trading one prison for another. And so people just can't see through this glorious rhetoric, which is... an ignorant public can't pick that out unless the media points it out to them. And even if they point it out to them once, it doesn't make any difference until they make it a drumbeat.
And what Mr. Obama does is say one thing and do exactly the opposite. And he does this doing time and time and time again. But he's not the first person who did it. George Bush did the same thing. But it's time that people began to listen to what people say and hold them to their statements, not suddenly let them make a statement and then do exactly the opposite. Or we turn out that they lied to us and nobody calls them on it. So at least you're there calling them on it, Joel. Go right ahead.
Well, and other news in Iraq, of course, the al-Maliki government is looking at a corruption scandal of huge proportions. New arrests are going to probably total over 1,000. And they're not former Baathists. They're not so-called Sunni insurgents. They're not part of Saddam Hussein's regime. These are part of the al-Maliki regime here. And al-Maliki is trying to distance himself from this, claiming that he's cleaning house, but there is no way, Dr. Stan, that you have corruption in the thousands, in the food program, in the oil program, everything else, without the al-Maliki regime and the U.S. government having at least knowledge of it and looking the other way. So this is going to be some story, and the more you get into the details, the more you realize that it's impossible for al-Maliki not to have been a part of this, because the rumors ever since the Reconstruction and all of the corruption there is the corruption is rampant in Iraq. And we have torture still rampant in Iraq under U.S. auspices. So even though the U.S. may not technically be doing it, but we don't know, because obviously nobody has inspection rights, neither the Red Cross, into these secret prisons that the U.S. is still operating. In fact, I'll make the case, as I have said before, that Obama may well believe that he's given the order there's no more torture, but what would he know? He only knows what they tell him. And as we know before, from what I published in the World Affairs Brief, even after Abu Ghraib, there were secret bases where they were still torturing, and the enlisted people who have now come out and turned whistleblowers said very clearly, they were told by the officers, don't worry about what's going on, Abu Ghraib, this is legal, we will back you up, there will be no one allowed into this base to come and prosecute you, and you are to continue to apply these harassing methods to these people, and they amounted to torture.
And well, we're out of time, Joel. We'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow morning, and thanks very much. And what a tragic situation it is when America has lost its moral base and there's no outcry from our religious leaders. God bless you. Thanks so much. Well, I hope you enjoy our conversation with Joel Skousen every Thursday, and then Chrissy's with us first thing in the morning on Friday, and certainly always gives us a very perceptive look at what's really going on, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. So this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and we're on over 60 outlets every week. But it's an expensive proposition. Quite frankly, we need your help. And if you're in a position to help us, either call us at 1-800-544-8927 or go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And there's a donate button there, and just push the button and see what happens under any circumstances. We want to mention we will be giving the lead speech on Saturday morning at the Conspiracy Conference, going to be held in Santa Clara, and that's at the Great American Parkway Marriott Hotel, and you can still get the directions by going to conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. And then, of course, we're going to be giving a talk called The Financial Armageddon. And we do have that on DVD along with the syllabus. We hope that you'll get that. Whether you come or not, you need to have this information. You need to go over it. And you need to know and understand this whole financial collapse is engineered. And it's designed to destroy the infrastructure, industrial bases of our nation, to impoverish our people, to destroy our currency. And people, of course, who are impoverished will readily accept the leadership which will take this into the one world government and the one world religion, because there are powerful spiritual forces behind that. And that takes us into the talk on the forbidden secret, and you need the syllabus that goes with that. That's the forbidden secret. You need to get the DVDs on the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, and you need to get the DVD on The Eye of the Phoenix. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you, of course, will want to, of course, get some of the other material that we have. There's a lot of talk now about the coming influenza epidemic. There's going to be an influenza epidemic. How do they know there's going to be a dangerous epidemic this year? We have one every year. Why is this one going to be different? Why, apparently there's a secret plan to vaccinate everybody in France. Sarkozy has this as a secret plan for this coming flu epidemic. How do they know it's coming? How do they know what the organism's going to be? And I suspect the same thing is true here. Do not take the vaccine. It could be very, very deadly. You need to get certainly the little book we have, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? You need to get our four-tape set, Vaccine Update 2009. You need to get the DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development. That's Vaccines and Brain Development. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle, a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We'll be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237.